Okay, good to be here today, folks. And it's a lovely warm weather up here, isn't it? Who'd want to go to Queensland? It's all wet and dreary up there, isn't it? Okay, and well, before we start the talk, I just want to mention our freebies. Anybody here like freebies? Well, we've got some freebies up the front. They've got some little Bibles, we've got postcards, we've got leaflets. Make sure you grab some of those really interesting information and pass them on to others. Another one of our freebies, our website. Anybody familiar with the website? Folks, you know there's something like 8,500 articles on our website. Any question that you've got on creation evolution, you get a pretty good answer on the website. Well, another one of our freebies are Info Bites. Now, by the way, these are only sent out when there's something of particular interest. You know, there's always controversy going on with creation evolution. Well, you can be the first to know. All you need to do is fill in one of these email address, on one of these clipboards, and you get this free service. It doesn't cost you anything. Now, while that's happening, I'm going to give you a very quick testimony. Why would an old man like me build a model of Noah's Ark? Well, you see, folks, as a child, I was a prolific model builder, but only between the age of 7 and 10. Now, in those days, you didn't have kits like today. Mum would buy me the raw material, and I designed heaps of aeroplanes and boats between the age of 7 and 10. But after the age of 10, I never built another model till April 1997. Well, I happened to be in bed with a crook back. Anybody ever had a crook back? Well, mine was pretty bad. As it turned out, I didn't get out of bed for 4 days. So I'm wondering what I'm going to do. Well, I love to read the Bible. Anyway, I started reading the Bible from the very beginning in Genesis. I got to the account of Noah. God illuminated the whole thing. He said, Rod, build a model of Noah's Ark. I thought, my back's gone, now my head's gone. But anybody ever heard from God? Folks, I knew it was God. Do you know, the next day, I've already scaled it down. I've sketched it out. I'm ready to go on the second day. Then all of a sudden, God spoke to me on the second day. He said, Rod, turn the radio on. Well, I turned the radio on. Do you know, for the next 20 minutes, they're talking about Noah's Ark. But they were mocking it. They were laughing about it, saying, oh, who'd believe in Noah's Ark in this scientific age? Well, folks, God said to me, when you finish the model, people will just come to you and ask questions. You'll just answer their questions. Anyway, nothing happened for a few weeks. And then all of a sudden, the model, oh, by the way, the model took me, I say this is what you can actually do if you don't watch TV for 7 months. 3 hours a day, 200 days, 600 hours work went into building that model. Anyway, like I said, the model was finished. Nothing happened for a few weeks. Then all of a sudden, in January 1998, it was 2 days before this huge waterfront festival that's an annual event in Geelong. Thousands come from all over Australia. 2 days before, God said, submit your model. Well, you don't normally turn up with 2 days' notice, do you? You got to book in months in advance and also pay them a lot of money. Anyway, I found out who the organizer was. I got on the phone. I said, look, I've got a model of the oldest boat on record. Would you be interested? Well, they gave me the best spot. Folks, right in the very middle of this festival. Do you know, for 3 days, my wife and I never sat down. We had half a dozen, 15, 20 people firing questions at us for 3 days. From there, we got invited to churches and schools. In fact, before we come on board with Creation Ministries in a full-time position 8 years ago, we'd actually been, in the first 7 years of our ministry, part-time, 600 venues around Australia, and I never organized one. God opened every door. So if you've got a problem with my talk, don't forget, it wasn't my idea. But I want you to be a good Berean. Anybody heard of the Bereans? We need to be like the Bereans. They checked out what Paul said. Well, I don't mind if you check me out. Amen? Now, we need to get Nancy back to a post. So if you've got a clipboard, just keep them passing around. Well, let's just bow our head in prayer and ask God to help us today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you we can come here today and give glory to your wonderful and mighty name. You're the creator of the whole universe, a mighty God. And Father God, as we look into the awesome flood and the wonderful faith of Noah, I pray your Holy Spirit would guide me and lead me in every word spoken. And dear Lord, I pray that our ears would be open to fully understand the true history of our world. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, let's have a look at this little picture book. Anybody ever seen one of those? What does everybody say? How would all the animals fit on Noah's Ark? Folks, the sad thing is this. When you grow up with that sort of thinking in your head, look what happens. Here's a newspaper man. He's telling 4 million people in Melbourne that's what Noah's Ark looked like. Boy, that's a fraction of the size of real Noah's Ark. I tell you what, it certainly doesn't show the skill, does it? The craftsmanship of ancient people. But today we're going to show you what it really looked like, how big it was, and lots of interesting things as well. Do you know, most people don't realize this, but Noah's Ark and the Genesis flood was one of the three major events that ever happened in the whole world. See, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen? Number two was the flood, and number three was the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now here we see the great love of God when our Creator actually became our Savior. In fact, the Apostle John lays this foundational truth in John chapter 1, verse 3. It says this, "By Him," that's Jesus Christ, "all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made." Folks, turning water into wine wasn't the first miracle of Jesus Christ. The first miracle of Jesus Christ was the creation of the whole universe. And you know, very sadly, all these three major events have been maligned by unbelievers. Not only outside the church, sometimes it happens from within. In fact, the Apostle Peter writes prophetically in 2 Peter 3, 5 and 6. And he tells us, in the days we're living in, many people will be willingly ignorant. They will actually purposely ignore two things. One, of course, God as Creator, because so many people think everything just evolved or made itself today. And two, the historical fact of a worldwide flood. They think it's just a myth, a children's story, a local flood. They don't take it seriously as they should. But you know, this morning I want to explain and encourage why we can actually trust in the Word of God from the very first verse. Anyway, why did God send the flood? Now remember, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the Bible tells us we are created special and in the image of God. Who believes that today? Do you know, major zoos around the world today, including Melbourne, Australia, sometimes they put people behind bars in the zoo because the people running the zoo think we're just evolved animals. Who reckons that's pretty sad? It really is, isn't it? Anyway, in the beginning, everything was very good. The Bible says not good, but very good. You see, there was no death in the beginning, no sickness, violence. Adam and Eve and all the animals, well, they ate fruit, nuts and veggies. It was an absolute beautiful paradise. So what happened? Well, of course, Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Because of their sin, folks, and their rebellion, God cursed the world. That's where death came in. And, of course, thorns, thistles, disease all came through the sin of Adam. Later on, Cain killed Abel, then Lamech killed a young man. 1,500 years later, we come to the days of the Noah and the flood, when Noah was 500 years old and just middle-aged. Tell me, who'd like to be 500 and middle-aged? But by the way, not a worn-out old man. I mean, fitter than a 25-year-old today. You know, I go into schools, got the little kinder kids up the front. Sometimes I say, who's got a grandpa 500 years old? You should see those hands go up, folks. But you know, when God created Adam, he was created to live forever. But eventually he died at 930 because of sin. Anyway, Noah was now the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. This particular time, there was a tremendous increase in the population, but very sadly, a great increase in wickedness. Now, remember how good it was in the beginning, that beautiful paradise? Folks, listen what it says in Genesis 6:5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination, every thought of their heart was evil continually. Folks, who believes we need to be careful what we watch on TV? Folks, you only need to watch a really bad TV show. I tell you what, your mind's racing with stuff you shouldn't be thinking about. It's that simple. What would happen if I put a CD full of rubbish in the computer? Rubbish in, what's coming out? Rubbish out. I used to go to a high security jail called Barwon Prison every Thursday night for 3 years. I talked to murderers, rapists, bank robbers. Folks, I found a theme ran through the life. They'd watch the most horrid things. And then one day, they'd had a few drugs, a few drinks. They actually lived out what had gone into their mind. They're now in jail for 20 years. You see, everything you do starts in your mind. Is that true? See, in Philippians 4, verse 8, it tells us, as Christians, to make sure that we set our mind on things that are good, things that are true, things that are honest, things that are pure. Anyway, God confided in Noah, told him because of the violence and the evil going on, he's going to bring a great flood upon the whole world. And so he gave Noah detailed instructions on building the ark. Now, of course, a lot of people would say, how could ancient people build such a massive structure? Well, folks, the answer is always in the Bible. Who believes that? You see, 1,000 years before Noah built the ark, Tubal-Cain was an expert in making tools out of iron and brass. Also, 1,000 years before Noah built the ark, Jubal was an expert in making musical instruments. 1,000 years before Noah built the ark. Ancient people are incredibly intelligent. Look at these buildings that are still standing in Rome and Greece. But what about those pyramids? Boy, they were pretty incredible. Do you know the original capping stones on those pyramids? There were thousands of them. Do you know the tolerance between those? By the way, they weighed about 2.5 tons each. The tolerance between those stones, 0.25 of a millimeter. How did they do that? Do you know what? We're still trying to figure that out. Nancy and I, we drive all over Australia. I tell you what, some of the outback towns are a bit shabby. Have a look at this great example of Australian workmanship. What do you think about that? But seriously, folks, the ancient Mayans were brilliant in mathematics. Do you know they had a calendar accurate to 0.0002 from perfect? Well, how'd they do that? Folks, it's very simple. You go back to Adam. God created Adam perfect and brilliant from the very beginning. And by the way, there were no mistakes in Adam. Do you know in the human race today, there are thousands of mutations or mistakes in our DNA. If anybody here believes in evolution, well, sorry, it's going the wrong way. We're devolving rapidly. For example, if you had a mutation for a hole in the heart, you're not evolving better. You need an operation to fix you up. Amen? Over 1,000 are deadly. Folks, the Bible says the whole creation is breaking down and you've got genetic entropy in the DNA as well. Things are breaking down very rapidly. Amazing when you think about it. Anyway, what people don't realize is this. We're just riding on the back of 4,500 years of accumulated knowledge and information. For example, who in, say, Victoria invented computers? Electricity, motor cars, airplanes. I can go on and on and on. So you can go to university, onto the internet, into the library. You can learn heaps of stuff, but we're just riding on the back of all this accumulated knowledge. I want to give you an idea of what I'm getting at. Any ladies here like spiders? Hands up. Not many. You know, spider silk's incredible stuff. It's actually 100 times stronger than steel. But if you wound spider silk around just a thin rope like my finger, you can suspend 2 fully loaded Boeing 737s. Well, how did little old spider learn how to do that? Well, he didn't learn anything. God created the spider to do what the spider does. You see, right from the very beginning when God created Adam, he was created perfect in the image of God. Amen? He was programmed with perfect language, perfect grammar from the very first day. He didn't have to learn how to talk. Amen? God said to him one day, Adam, I want you to name all the animals. Did Adam have any trouble? Folks, I don't know about you, but I get to number 10, I've forgotten the first one. I'm praying for the memory of Adam. See, individually, we've all gone downhill. It's just that we're riding on the back. People don't get that today, do they? Anyway, Noah certainly would have had all the tools, the skill, the technology to build the ark. Now, God told him, build out of gopher wood with rooms inside, pitched inside and out. This ark had to be 300 cubits long. Well, cubit is from your elbow to the outstretched middle finger, roughly half a meter on an average-sized person. So 300 cubits is 350 meters, three Olympic swimming pools connected end-to-end. Does that look like that dodgy little boat in the newspaper article? It's a massive ship, isn't it? First, I come out as a migrant from England as a little boy. The ship we came out on was a converted World War II aircraft carrier, same length as Noah's Ark. There's also 50 cubits or 25 meters wide, 30 cubits or 15 meters in height. That's the height of a 4-to-5-story building. Amazing, wasn't it, the size of Noah's Ark. Had a cubit window for light and ventilation. Who reckons they needed that? One door in the side, but it had three levels on Noah's Ark. I've got a model out there. You can have a look at that. But as you can see, each level on Noah's Ark was very high, so there's no problem for very tall animals. Now, anybody familiar with Captain Cook today? Anybody read about him? The Endeavour? Folks, that's a scale-size Endeavour to the size of Noah's Ark. You can actually fit 54 of these inside of Noah's Ark. But you notice Noah's Ark doesn't have a sail, does it? Doesn't have a propeller, a rudder. Why is that? Folks, the whole world was covered in water for 5 months. There was no port for 5 months. See, normal ships today are built streamlined for speed and maneuverability. But Noah's Ark was only built for two reasons. Huge capacity and amazing stability. Now, if Noah was just a little guy like me, the cubit only that big, it could actually hold 522 rail cars, 240 sheep per car. That's a total of 125,000 sheep. Who'd like to shear all those? But by the way, that's not even packed in tight. You know how they pack things in tight, like sardines into a can? Folks, you can fit 350,000 of these models inside of Noah's Ark. Amazing, the capacity. Now, the stability of Noah's Ark was also incredible. You see, Korean and American naval architects have done extensive tests. What they found was this, that Noah's Ark was stable in 390-kilometer winds. 35-meter waves were no problem for Noah's Ark. Folks, it was proven to be 13 times more stable than the minimum requirements of American shipping. Anybody ever watched a documentary on Noah's Ark? Well, usually they're just full of rubbish. Folks, I watched a worldwide organization do a documentary on Noah's Ark recently. That's the shape of Noah's Ark. 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. They tank tested Noah's Ark like that. Of course, the first wave that come along knocked it to where it should be. Can you tell me how they got that wrong, I should say? I think any five-year-old child could read that and make sure it was right, wouldn't you? And that was a worldwide organization. You see, the new oil tankers today, you know, they're actually made more in the shape of Noah's Ark. Anyway, God told Noah, two of every unclean animal were going on board the ark. But as we read this morning, the clean ones went in by sevens. Now, skeptics come up to me all the time and they say, Rod, how could the hundreds of thousands of breed of animal fit on Noah's Ark? Well, folks, they never read the Bible. You see, the Bible is very clear. They went in according to their kind, not breed. For example, let's consider the dog kind today. Hundreds of breed of dog in the world today. Well, every now and again, there's a new breed of dog. Where does that come from? Pretty obvious, too old breed of dog. Folks, let's go back 100 years ago. Nowhere near the number of breed. Let's go right back to Noah. How many dogs did you need? Two wolf-type dogs. Two horses, two kangaroos, and of course the clean animals, like the sheep, they went in by sevens. Now God, with his great creative ability, he purposed a tremendous variety to adapt to niche conditions around the world. It's called natural selection. For example, the wolves have adapted, haven't they, to the snow and the ice conditions of Alaska. What would happen if you're a short-haired dog got left up there in the autumn? It's pretty obvious you'd freeze to death, you'd be meat for the wolves. You see, you'd be better off adapting to warm and hot conditions like the dingo in Australia. Now, many people like Charles Darwin mistakenly interpret this variety as evolution. Folks, it's not evolution. It's simply diversity within God's created kind. And as with the dog kind, the many breeds are due to a loss of genetic information. Folks, you don't find any gain in information. It's always loss of information. We haven't got time to go into detail of that today. But come and see us later. Anyway, John Woodmeramp was an American scientist. Now, John did an intensive 7-year study. He estimated that only 16,000 animals, medium-sized, that big, needed to go on board Noah's Ark. Folks, the real ark could hold 350,000 of these models. 16,000, that's the medium size. See, only 11% of all the animal life are larger than the sheep. The great majority are very, very tiny. Now, assuming, of course, that the very large animals went in as babies or, say, juveniles, do you know there was so much room on Noah's Ark, they never even had to clean up. Who reckons that's a good idea? Folks, all you need is deep litter. In parts of Sweden, they have animals under the house for up to 7 months. They use wood shavings, peat moss, and straw deep enough will last all through the winter, proven to last over 12 months. Anyway, Noah was now 600 years old when God sent the flood. Now, of course, Noah built the ark, didn't he? But God did two miracles. You see, God brought the animals, then God shut the door. Then, folks, a tremendous cataclysm happened. On the 17th day of the second month of the 600th year of Noah's life, the Bible tells us the fountains of the deep burst open around the world. Now the rain was pouring 40 days and 40 nights. Earthquakes, volcanoes, they're all happening simultaneously. Folks, the densocean floor was now subducting into the mantle, and the single pre-flood landmass was being ripped and torn apart. Not slow and gradual as evolution teaches, but rapidly. See, not only were the cities, the people, the animals destroyed, the whole landscape was just ripped up. Fast-moving waters, picking up sediments, laying them down in pancake layers. Who's ever seen stuff like that? Folks, the average depth of water-laid sediments worldwide is 1.5 kilometers deep. How would that get there without a worldwide flood? Well, what a monument is the Grand Canyon, I tell you. We were there less than 2 years ago. We did some investigation ourselves. Folks, these layers of strata at the Grand Canyon run dead straight for hundreds of kilometers. Except the Kaibab upwarp, where God has pushed up the land. Do you know what? Those layers fold over each other like plasticine because everything was lifted up still wet. And between two of these layers at the Grand Canyon, you have a knife-edge difference. Folks, this is no problem for a creationist, but if anybody here believes in long ages, you've got a massive problem. Because people who believe in long ages tell us the bottom layer is 6 million years old in the top layer. Well, I've got a very simple question. How come there was no erosion between those layers for 6 million years? Anybody ever been to the 12 apostles? Oh, hands up if you haven't been. Well, you better hurry up. You know why, folks? Because there's only 7 left. That's because of erosion in my lifetime. I was in England a few years ago. I was watching this documentary. The guy was pointing into the rough North Sea out into the from the east coast of England. He said, 4.5 kilometers out there used to be a village a few hundred years ago. Folks, in another place, there was a church built 4 kilometers from the coast. It's now 0.5 kilometer from the coast. Incredible erosion along that coast. Nancy and I were over there a couple of years ago. We did some investigation. We went up and down that coast. We took hundreds of photos. Folks, here's just a few of them. You've got roads leading to nowhere. You know, a few years ago, they were leading somewhere. Amen? Anyway, have a look at this. You have World War II bunkers 200 meters out to sea. Folks, 70 years ago, they were well inland. Can you see what I'm getting at? Erosion. Let's do some simple maths today. Along that coast of England, some parts have been eroding at 6 meters a year, documented for hundreds of years. But let's just reduce that to 1 meter. And let's take a minuscule time on the evolution time frame. 1 million years, that's nothing on their time frame. Let's multiply 1 meter of erosion by 1 million years. 1,000 kilometers of erosion. Folks, there's no England, no Ireland, all gone. How could England be hundreds of millions of years old? Impossible, isn't it? Doesn't make sense. But I'll tell you what makes less sense. How come there was no erosion between those layers of the Grand Canyon for 6 million years? First, what does make sense is rapid deposition. Whoops. That each layer was dumped rapidly on top of the other one before any erosion could take place. And you know, between some of those layers, you even have raindrop fossils. Well, how long do they last? Minutes or hours before the wind or the sun destroy them, perfectly preserved raindrop fossil between layers. Amazing when you think about it. Anyway, as the floodwaters are receding, huge lakes form like these big ones in North America. Now, these lakes weren't held in very well. And you know what? They breached. And of course, with the receding floodwaters, many people today believe that the Grand Canyon and many other features around the world today was ripped out rapidly rather than slowly. But has anybody here heard of David Attenborough? Well, David Attenborough said the Grand Canyon took 40 million years to carve out. Well, I don't believe that, do you? Folks, at Mount St. Helens in the 1980s, 200 meters of strata was laid down. Extremely violent volcanic activity, mud flows. Have a look at this in just a few hours one day. 8 meters of strata. But altogether, 200 meters high. And then what happened was, there was a lot of water that formed in the top of this volcano. It burst open one day. This massive mudslide ripped down the mountainside. Folks, it carved out a 140-scale Grand Canyon. Now, of course, on David Attenborough's time frame, that would have taken 1 million years. But how long did it really take? Well, you know, one day it wasn't there. The next day it was. Can you tell me why you need 40 million for the real one? No, you need a lot more water, don't you? Folks, the power of water is incredible. Who saw the tsunamis in Japan and what damage it can do? Anyway, at the Glen Canyon Dam, this year there was a huge snowmelt. The water was pouring and pouring into the dam. They had lots of outlet pipes, letting the water out faster and faster. But they had this huge spillway pipe, nearly as wide as this room, 12 meters wide, 1 meter thick, solid reinforced concrete. Folks, it was embedded in solid bedrock. Well, the water was let out faster and faster. Eventually, it hit 100 feet per second. When that happened, vacuum bubbles started to develop. Folks, what we're looking at now is incredible forces being unleashed like you'd never believe. I'm talking over 1,000 degrees Celsius, hammer-like blows. Look what it did in just minutes. That's a 12-meter pipe at the top. See, the power of water cavitation is incredible. But what we're looking at here in these two examples, of course, are tiny pimple of events compared to the utter devastation that would have unfolded in the worldwide flood at the time of Noah. Anyway, the Bible tells us all the mountains were covered. All air dwelling, breathing, animals, birds and creeping things all died. But Noah remained alive and those with him in the ark. Who's happy about that today? Amen? And do you know, the ark floated for an incredible 150 days before coming to rest on the mountains of Ararat in Turkey. Many months later, Noah sent out the dove, came back with the olive leaf. So eventually what had to happen was all the ground had to dry out. All the trees and vegetation regrow before God would let them go off the ark. And eventually he did, after 371 days, over 1 year, before God let them off the ark. Now, of course, skeptics come up to me all the time and say, Rod, what happened to the water? Folks, can you see any water up there today? We live in a watery world, don't we? Folks, the area of water is 72% of the globe, only 28% land. So nearly three quarters of the world is covered in water. Well, let's pretend. Let's flatten down all the land all over the world. Let's uplift those deep oceans. Let's make everything dead flat like this floor. Folks, there's enough water to cover the whole world by nearly 3 kilometers deep. God just rearranged everything. Psalm 104, 5 to 9 tells us God pushed up the mountains. God pulled down the valleys in the oceans. Folks, anybody heard of the Himalayan mountains? Well, they weren't there before the flood. They were actually crunched up in the tectonic activity during the flood, and they're covered in seashell fossils at the very top of the mountain. Because they're underwater, of course, at the time of the flood. Anyway, now God told them to be fruitful and to multiply. How long do you think it would take for populations to grow? How many people live in the world today? Who'd like to guess? Folks, just over 7 billion people live in the world today. But listen to this. Just before I was born, 2 billion. Let's go back 350 years ago. 500 million. Folks, if you're a mathematician, you do graphs. It's mathematically impossible on the population graph to go back beyond the time of Noah. But, of course, you watch the documentaries on evolution. They say, oh, man's been roaming around for 100,000, a million years. Well, where's the evidence for that? Well, quite frankly, unless you just make it up, there is zero evidence. Folks, the real evidence agrees with the Bible that every person in the whole world has descended from Shem, Ham, Japheth, and their wives. Noah's the great-grandfather of every one of the 7 billion in the world today. Who's happy to be my relation today? But then people say, yeah, but what about the Asian people? What about the African people? What about the Aborigines? Folks, there's only one race in the world. It's called the human race. And you know what? We've all got the same coloring in our skin. It's called melanin. It all depends on how little you got for how light you are, how much you got for how dark you are, and everything in between. People who are mid-brown, well, they have the genes to go darker or lighter in just one generation. Have a look at this. This couple had twins. What do you think about that? It doesn't take long, does it? Folks, it's very easy to see what happened at the Tower of Babel, isn't it? You see, God got angry with them. They started to build this big tower. Well, he didn't like it. He split them up into little groups. That's where all the languages come from. And, of course, the genetic makeup to develop the people groups that we see around the world today from the Tower of Babel after the flood. Anyway, just before we look at the evidence for the flood, I want to digress here for a moment. Anybody believe that our God is an almighty God today? Anybody believe that? Some? Okay. Well, have a look at this computer chip. This computer chip can process all the letters of the Bible 200 times a second. But I'm going to show you today that that computer chip will pale into total absolute insignificance compared to what God can do. Right down the bottom is a little dust mite. That's the size of a dust mite to the ant. Let's blow that up. Hands up if you keep dust mites at home as pets. Yes, might be news for some of you. Folks, we feed them every day. Our body sheds millions of bits of microscopic skin, and we're feeding them every day. Anyway, right down the bottom, really magnifying stuff out here, is a sharp pinpoint. Let's blow up the pinpoint. Well, this is full of E. coli bacteria. Well, let's blow that up. And we blow up the E. coli, and now right down the bottom is a little strand of human DNA. Folks, who's ever wondered when you're that little speck in your mother's womb on the first day of conception, what was the blueprint to build your body of 100 trillion cells? Now, by the way, those cells are not simple like Charles Darwin thought. We actually now know that they're as complex as the city of New York. So you've got the complexity of 100 trillion New York cities. Do you think you need a good blueprint? Well, it's called DNA. But imagine in my fingertip, I've got the head of a pin. Who knows how tiny that is? But imagine it's hollow. And I'm going to fill it up with DNA molecules. But what I'm going to do now, I'm going to extrapolate, change that information into written words in books. How many books do you think it would be? Who'd like to guess? Well, I find my book. Here we go. Fell down the bottom. Who'd like to guess how many books? Front row. Put you on the spot. How many books? Quickly. How many? Sorry? A few thousand? 250,000. I'm going to see that this will blow your mind, folks. Folks, one pinhead of DNA is equivalent to books piled to the moon 500 times. See, what you're dealing with here is a supreme intelligence. You're dealing with an almighty God whose ways are so far above our ways as the earth is to the heavens. Amen? Who believes we need to worship God today? What a great and mighty God. You know, the sad thing is this. We have professors in our universities who tell us there's no intelligence behind DNA. Who believes that's pretty crazy? Look at that computer chip's paled into total absolute insignificance. And how many billions of dollars and thousands of scientists put that together? Incredible, isn't it, when you think about it? Anyway, what's the evidence for a worldwide flood? Folks, the real evidence are billions of fossils showing clear evidence of rapid burial on a massive worldwide scale. In fact, some of the fossil record are so delicate like insect wings and jellyfish. Do you know they disappear in hours in the tropics? But what do you find? You find jellyfish perfectly preserved with all the tentacles. Billions of fish with the fins sticking up rigid, buried alive by the billions. Folks, have a look at this fish. Just caught its breakfast. I mean, how fast was that? Here's an extinct ichthyosaur just given birth to its young. Folks, the fossil record is full of rapid burial. Anyway, another good evidence of rapid burial are tree fossils and coal seams. Do you know some of these tree fossils, they go 25 meters up through the strata. This is no problem for a creationist, but anybody who believes in long ages, it's a massive problem. Because the difference in time from the bottom of the tree to the top of the tree is mega time. Folks, could a tree, when it dies, stand up for a million years and not rot away? I don't think so. I think they rot away. Insects destroy them. Fires destroy them, don't they? And of course, they're just gone in a few decades. But getting back to my example, some of these tree logs, folks, are upside down and they cut through coal seams supposedly 2 million years apart. Who reckons they got the wrong theory for coal? Folks, how long does it take to make coal? Well, I can turn good wood into coal in 4 weeks. You don't need millions of years. In fact, everything they say that takes millions of years can happen so fast. And your ladies here like opals. Have you noticed everywhere you go these days? They've always got to have the propaganda, don't they? Millions of years. Folks, have a look at this. Here's a man at Lightning Ridge. He learned the mix. He mixes up a bit of slurry in his Vegemite jars, plunks them on the shelf for a few weeks. In a few weeks, got a perfect opal. Scientists can't tell the difference. Who's ever been in those caves, seen the stalactites? Anybody seen those? Well, once again, they're always talking about millions of years. Folks, have a look at this. Here's a mine that was only shut for 55 years. There's two miners for scale. Look at the size of the stalactites in 55 years. Do you think you need millions of years for that stuff? Western Australia, there's a wooden water wheel that's now turned to stone. Amazing, isn't it? Anyway, I want to talk about dinosaurs. Dinosaurs went on the ark. But would you take a big one or would you take a little one? What do you think? I reckon it makes good sense to take a little one, don't you? See, dinosaurs like crocodiles come from an egg. Even the biggest dinosaur come from an egg only that big. How big's a baby crocodile when it's born? How big do they grow? Folks, that was shot 57 years ago at the top of the Gulf in Queensland, 8.7 metres long. But it's not the biggest one in the fossil record either. See, every year a crocodile lives, it grows. It's the same with the dinosaurs. But anyway, in the book of Job, it describes this animal called Behemoth. Now, Behemoth had a tail like a cedar. This is about 4,000 years ago. Here's my wife, Nancy. There's two cedar trees. Tell me, if you had a tail like a cedar tree, would you have a big tail or a little tail? You'd have a big tail. Well, I was reading a Bible commentary one day. It said it was a hippopotamus. Who's ever seen one of those? In another Bible, I was reading the commentary. It said it was an elephant. Who's ever seen one of those? Folks, who believes we need to be a bit careful with Bible commentaries? Amen? It's not the word of God. Let's have a look at this animal described by Job. What does it actually look like? It's pretty obvious. Dino the dinosaur. Folks, when you go back into written history, you find hundreds of written accounts. People killing, being killed, describing these monsters. In fact, anybody heard of the Welsh Chronicles? It's the oldest written history in Britain. Well, it describes this brave king. One day he went out to defend the city, but he went on to say the monster ate him up like a little fish. He wasn't very successful, was he? But what about St. George, folks? Was he more successful? What is St. George actually killing? Dinosaurs just a new name for dragon? Bishop Bell was only buried 500 years ago. Well, there's perfect pictures of long-necked, long-tailed dinosaurs. How do you get those? Do you know they've actually found dinosaur bones in Montana and Alaska that are still soft? They're not fossilized fully. And they've even got stinky, smelly, fleshy, soft tissue. They've even found a red blood cell. Folks, the evolution theory tells us dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago. They also believe in multiple ice ages. So the earth went from hot to cold over 65 million years. Who reckons that stuff could last for 65 million years? Folks, this is hopeless evidence for evolution. But I tell you what, fantastic evidence for a young earth and belief in the Bible. You see, with the fountains of the deep, you had incredible warm oceans, massive evaporation to give you incredible dumping of snow on the poles and the high mountains straight after the flood to give you the one and only ice age. Perfect conditions to preserve these things for a short period of time. Anyway, a lot of people say to me, yeah, Rod, but the word dinosaur is not in the Bible. Well, that's true. Is the word computer in the Bible? Well, the reason the word dinosaur is not in the Bible, it's a new name. It was only invented 170 years ago. King James Bible was translated 400 years ago. You won't find the word dinosaur in the Bible, but you do find behemoth, leviathan, dragon, just different names for the same animal. Well, why aren't dinosaurs around today, do you think? Folks, it's very simple. We killed them. Anybody been to Tasmania? Did you see a Tasmanian tiger? The reason is we killed them. Good job we killed only 99% of the whales. Well, their number is growing up again, isn't it? But they were nearly all gone. Anybody heard of Marco Polo? You know, Marco Polo, when he went through Asia, he said tigers were an absolute pest. Folks, are tigers a pest today? Folks, if you go and see the experts like Australia Zoo, they'll tell you very clearly, in 5, maybe 10 years, you won't find one tiger in the wild, anywhere in the world, nearly all gone. In New Zealand, the Maori people love Kentucky Fried Moa bird. Oh, sorry, they loved it too much. They wiped them all out 600 years ago. Some of them grew 14 foot high. Folks, what's the difference between these animals and dinosaurs being killed off? Anyway, what can we learn from the account of Noah? Well, it shows that we all need to be saved. You see, the flood and the billions of fossils, you know, they're a sobering reminder of the judgment of God and the seriousness of sin. Folks, what is now taught as evolution was actually the evidence of the judgment of God on an evil generation. What deception has come over the whole world to teach again like that? Incredible when you think about it, isn't it? But you know, the good news, the gospel, is Jesus died for our sin. Amen? Folks, Noah was safe in the ark. The only safety today is to have a true and living faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. The one who made everything hung on that cross, poured out his precious blood to wash away every sin. Folks, that's our ark for today. We need to believe that today. Now, there's only one door into the ark. Tell me, what did Jesus say? He said, I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Anybody looking forward to heaven? Folks, I love what Paul said. He said, our eyes have never seen, our ears have never heard of the wonders that God's prepared for those who love him. Who loves Jesus Christ today? Amen? Let's just bow our head in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you today for the wonderful faith of Noah. Father God, I pray for each one of us in this room. I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord God, would guide us and lead us all into a very deep living relationship with you. And Father God, that we could be a light in the darkness in this town. And Father God, that we might bring many to salvation through the precious blood of Jesus as we reach out with the good news. Amen? Tell me, anybody believe we're living in different days today? Folks, I've seen a lot of change in Australia in the time I've been alive. I go to shows, I've had hundreds of teenagers come up, they say, no mate, we come from apes. By the hundreds. Because that's what they're taught at school. But you know what? Some of them will listen to me, and after maybe 15 or 20 minutes, they'll go away and say, thanks mate, I've never heard that before in my life. Anybody believe we need to have answers for these kids today? But not only young ones. You know, like in caravan parks, we have our sides open, we get people coming up. I had a Peruvian couple come up to me one time. They said, Rod, we believe in evolution. But anyway, I was able to spend 20 minutes with them before they had to rush off to an appointment. But they soaked everything up that I said. After 20 minutes, I looked them in the eye. I said, what do you believe now? They said, we believe in Jesus Christ and creation. Folks, we need answers for people, don't we? Because there are a lot of people out there that have never been to church and they haven't got a clue. So we need to be able to reach out with the truth. Well, one way to get equipped to give answers is Creation Magazine. Hands up if you get Creation Magazine. Folks, this magazine is an amazing magazine. It was started by an Adelaide doctor, black and white photocopy in the 1970s. It now goes, full color magazine, now goes to 110 countries worldwide. Written by scientists, but in layman's terms, short articles, 1, 2, 3, 4 page articles. And to really equip us, to give us answers. It's even got a children's section and it's a full-color magazine. Now, if anybody signs up for Creation Magazine today, it's only $28 for a year's subscription. And if anybody's into the, electronic side of it, you can throw that in for another $4. $32 gives you both versions, electronic and the hard copy. but $28 just for the Creation magazine. Now, if you sign up today, we're going to give this away for all these three reasons. Number one, of course, if you take a new subscription. Two, if you're already getting it, you add on to your subscription. And three, if you give a gift subscription. Folks, this is an amazing soul winner, I tell you. A guy came up to me in Gympie. He said, Rod, he said, I come to Christ through reading Creation magazine. He told me he had five brothers and sisters. He sent the Creation magazine, a gift subscription, to the whole five. Four of them have come to Christ, folks, just through reading Creation magazine. Now, like I say, if you sign up today, we're going to give you a back copy of the magazine. We're also going to give you some free Noah's Ark resources. What about a nice picture of Noah's Ark? You get that for free? Make sure you don't put it up with BlueTech. Put it in a nice frame. Who wants to take my model home tonight, today? Well, you can't have it. But I'll give you a little one. Folks, this little model has even been used as a soul winner. A guy came up to me one time, he said, Rod, I could never talk to my brother about God. He just walked out the door, wouldn't even listen to me. But one day, my brother was over for tea. Your little model was sitting on top of the TV set. My brother picked it up. He read the information, opened up for the first time in his life about God, just through the information on that little model. Well, you get one of those for free. Also, people don't know where things fit in the Bible today, so what about a world timeline? When was the flood? What about King David, etc., etc.? It's all there on the timeline. You get that for free. And we're going to throw in our DVD. You get all that for free if you sign up for 1 year's subscription of Creation Magazine. By the way, out the back there, we've got a lot of $18 DVDs just on any subject under the sun. And you know what? If you do a 3 year subscription, we reduce the price and you can get all that plus another DVD if you'd like a 3 year subscription. Like I said, we can pay cash, credit card, or check. Now, there's lots of books out there, but I reckon, who would like to know all the answers? Well, folks, this is a fantastic book. It's called The Answers Book, 60 of the Most Asked Questions on Creation Evolution. Can you really defend six-day creation? Folks, it's all there in this little book. Fantastic little book. If you'd like that for free, The Answers Book, this is a fantastic little pack called an intro pack to really resource you. It's got The Answers Book, Refuting Evolution by Jonathan Safady, and a fantastic DVD by Carl Wieland, Origins in the Modern World, Why It Matters, A Generation Destroyed. Folks, you get the Answers Book for free in that because it's $46 for $29. Very quickly, if you'd like a book to really build your faith in God, what a mighty God he is, buy this book. It's called The Wonder of Man, written by a top German scientist. We've got some fantastic books here. This is a new book, and it's very cheap, actually. What is it? $22 for a big book like that. It's written by Roger Gallup, a PhD geologist in America, Evolution, the Greatest Deception in Modern History. It goes, fantastic resource book and a great one to lend out. Has anybody here heard of Richard Dawkins? I was in England a couple of years ago and some guys come up to me and said, Rod, you're on Richard Dawkins' website. I said, that's interesting. So anyway, they had all these printed out stuff. It had Ark Man Visits UK, Skeptics Required, Urgent Action. That pages and pages of blogs. They were really out to get me. I tell you what, the language was really bad. But you know what else he did? He put all of our itinerary on his website. Folks, you would not believe the crowds we had. We had big churches packed out, people out into the, parking place, side rooms as big as this, totally packed out. See, what he meant for bad, what did God do? He turned it around for good, didn't he? But, you know, very sadly today, a lot of people are taken in by his writings. But Jonathan Safady here has written an incredible book. It's called The Greatest Hoax on Earth, and he refutes every one of Dawkins' teachings. It's a really good book to hand out to people. I really encourage you to get that. And, of course, we've got lots of children's books, but I reckon every child should have a real Noah's Ark book. If you're a grandparent, make sure your child or grandchild's got a real Noah's Ark book because you know what? 95% of the Noah's Ark books that are sold in Australia promote a myth. It's important we have real ones. And also, children need to have real dino books too. They really do. Because there's so much misinformation given. Folks, I've got a very simple question. Why did Jesus Christ say the truth? I'll tell you why. The father of lies has spread so many lies throughout society. Folks, you look at what comes through the media. Look what's taught in universities and schools. I tell you what, it's opposite to what the Bible teaches. Amen? It really is, isn't it? So, you know, and of course in Philippians 4, verse 8, it tells us too, not only set your mind on things that are pure and holy, but things that are true. Folks, if we set our minds on things that are not true, we can start to get deceived. So we need to be very careful, and I'd really encourage you to be equipped that every person here as got books and magazines and stuff that actually agree with the teachings of Jesus Christ, the Creator. I really encourage you. And if you've got children or grandchildren, then we've got some fantastic books out there. Make sure that your children or grandchildren are equipped to know the truth. So, folks, thank you very much. After the meeting, I'm going to take the roof off here. So if you've got any more questions, come and see me. Nancy will be out there with the magazine subscription and all the books. And there's a cup of tea on. But if there's anybody here who's having a hard time, I've got one free subscription for somebody today who would love the subscription but can't afford it. Come and see me. I'll give away one free subscription. And like I say, I'll be here to answer questions after the meeting. So thank you, Philip.